Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this is Barack Lesnar of Barack Lesnar Hoops bringing you a brand new video. Today we are going to discuss shooting guard, small forward eligible targets on waiver wires right now. So for the sake of streamlining this, for this video, I'm going to cover shooting guard and small forward eligible players. The only power forward eligible players I will cover is if they also have shooting guard small forward eligibility. My next video will likely be power forward and center. And power forwards, I will count those small forward, power forward eligible players for that specific video. I might do a separate center video. I still haven't figured it out, but overall, I'm going to make three videos to cover every position. The goal being, when you go into your draft, you are highly educated on where these players are going and why you should be targeting them and in what specific builds they'll be the most helpful. Before we get any further, do me a favor and smash that like button for me. Subscribe to Barack Lesnar Hoops if you have not yet. So the first shooting guard eligible player on my list is Anthony Edwards. He has an average pick of 14. Yahoo's actually projecting him to be in the top 7. Last season, he had 24.6 points, 5.8 rebounds, 4.4 assists, almost 3 three-pointers per game, 1.6 steals, 0.7 blocks, 3.3 turnovers, which is pretty high considering he doesn't get you many assists. Field goal percentage leaves some to be desired. It's about average. Free throw percentage definitely needs to improve, but he has a ton of upside. He just played for the national team and was one of the key cogs of the national team. And in my experience, when they have that summer experience internationally, those players tend to come into the season and have a very strong season. So at an average pick of 14, I think that's an ideal range to start targeting him for his ability to get a lot of threes, a lot of steals, which is a combination that I really like. The next player on my list is Mikal Bridges. He's actually projected by Yahoo to be number 4 at an average pick of 19.4. This guy, when he was traded to the Nets, just played at a whole new level. He was one of my favorite utility players, but that move to the Nets really elevated him to just a whole new level, not only offensively, but defensively. This is a guy that can get you steals, he can get you blocks, he can get you threes, and he does it on pretty decent percentages. You can see there last season averaged almost 47% from the field, almost 90% from the free throw line. A guy that I value a lot because he doesn't get a lot of turnovers, just really helps you across the board, and he's still a young player, still scratching the surface of how good he's going to be. Those are the sort of players I like to gamble on, so if I'm picking in that second round, if he manages to fall to the third round, Mikal Bridges makes a very interesting target, again, because of his ability to contribute across the board and not hurt you in too many specific areas. Desmond Bain had a heck of a season, projected to be number 14, has an average pick of 22.1. Last season averaged 21.5 points, 5 rebounds, 4.4 assists, 2.9 three-pointers made, a steal per game, 0.4 blocks, only 2.2 turnovers. Shot almost 48% from the field, 88% from the free throw line. A guy averaging 48% from the field while hitting almost 3 three-pointers per game, giving you almost 22 points per game. That is incredible production and can really help your team. Again, if you pair him and Mikal Bridges, if you pair those two together, your team is going to be looking really good. Again, depending on who you end up picking in that first round. Not a lot of holes. Sure, not going to get you a ton of blocks, but really helping you in almost every single category. And 0.4 blocks is still better than a lot of players in the league. So if you're picking in that second, third round, Desmond Bane is somebody who makes a lot of sense to me. Devin Booker, average pick of 16.4. He's projected 22. And the reason I had those other guys ahead of him is just because there's so many mouths to feed on the Suns now. You have Bradley Beal, you have Kevin Durant, guys who are going to be very heavy usage, who are going to get a lot of shots. So Devin Booker, when he does play, is a very good player. Averages a lot of points, gets you rebounds, assists, over 2 threes, gets you that steal per game. 2.7 turnovers, which is not terrible considering he gets you 5.5 assists. Shooting 49% from the field, 85% from the free throw line. Very solid production. Sometimes he is a little bit injury prone. I've noticed the steals and blocks aren't really there. That one steal per game is pretty good. But again, with all that usage that's going to be used up by Bradley Beal, Kevin Durant and some of those other pieces on the Suns, I feel a little more comfortable going with maybe Desmond Bane or Mikal Bridges, given the option. But I probably wouldn't let him fall below that. I think I like him more than Jaylen Brown, Paul George, and some of the other guys we're about to discuss. So Jaylen Brown is now the highest paid player in NBA history. Average pick of 39. He's actually projected to go to be about 39. Last season, averaged 26.6 points, 6.9 rebounds, 3.5 assists, 2.4 threes, 1.1 steals, 0.4 blocks, 2.9 turnovers, which isn't great because he only averages 3.5 assists. Field goal percentage of 49% is solid, especially with 2.4 threes per game. The free throw percentage, I'm not a huge fan of. I would want to see him increase that. But if free throw percentage is not something that I value, Jaylen Brown's value probably goes up a lot on your draft board. I'm a bigger fan of guys that get me more steals, blocks, and a better free throw percentage. There are some things to like. 7 rebounds per game for a shooting guard eligible player is really nice. Over 1 steal per game, he's improved in that department. I do want to see less turnovers from him. I want to see slightly more assists, and I want to see an improvement to the free throw percentage. Decent target, especially at an average pick of 39. I don't see him dropping there often. I think as we get closer to the season, especially with all the money he's making, that shows the commitment the team has made to him. And commitment like that normally means usage, playing time, and opportunity. Paul George is an average pick of 30.4, and when healthy, he's going to be a better producer than Jaylen Brown because he has elite free throw percentage. He hits more threes. He gets 1.5 steals. The assist to turnover ratio is pretty similar. You get slightly more assist with Paul George. The issue is Paul George is very injury prone in the last few seasons, has missed significant amount of time with injuries, which makes him a little concerning. When healthy, the guy can produce at a first round, second round level. The problem is, the older he gets, the less healthy he seems to be. Very similar to his teammate, Kawhi Leonard, who actually has a higher average pick of 27.6. His production is never the issue. He's another one where health is what really makes him a headache. As far as production, he does a little bit of everything. He can score, rebound, assist, 2 3-pointers per game, 1.4 steals, half a block. Only 1.7 turnovers per game, which is incredibly low for a guy giving you 51% from the field, 87% from the free throw line. So that field goal percentage combined with 2 3-pointers per game, that's really nice production. But Kawhi Leonard is historically a headache. So I probably would trust Paul George even more than Kawhi Leonard. And I'd probably pick Jaylen Brown before both because I think Jaylen Brown is at least a little more consistent with availability. Now, if Paul George and Kawhi Leonard manage to stay healthy, they're better players than Jaylen Brown for fantasy basketball purposes. The next player I have on my list is OG Anunoby at an average pick of 48.4. Yahoo's projecting him to be number 33 in the rankings next season. So, as far as points, last season he averaged almost 17 points per game, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 2.1 threes, 1.9 steals, 0.7 blocks, 2 turnovers per game. Field goal percentage at almost 48%, free throw percentage at almost 84%. So that's really nice production across the board. A guy getting you 2 3-pointers per game, 1.9 steals per game, 2 threes, 2 steals from a guy giving you a good field goal percentage, a nice free throw percentage. Turnovers, only 2 per game. He doesn't get you a ton of assists, so he's probably somebody I'm targeting in a punt assist format. And with Fred VanVleet gone, he might have the ball in his hands more. So OG Anunoby at an average pick of 48. I think he might be a sleeper there. I think that's something he can outproduce. He has been a bit of an injury liability. He, in my experience, misses a few weeks every season. But nothing to be too concerned about. He's still maturing. He's still growing into his game. And I wouldn't be shocked if we see him score closer to 18, 19 points per game next season. DeMar DeRozan. Old reliable, this guy tends to outproduce where he's drafted. I feel like the last few years he goes in this 35 to 50 range and he always ends up outproducing it because his field goal percentage and his free throw percentage are elite. Now the caveat with DeMar DeRozan is he barely gets you any threes. That's not something you should expect from him. So if you have a lot of other players that don't hit threes, he's not an ideal target. He's a good target if you're getting a lot of threes elsewhere and you want to pad your field goal percentage, your free throw percentage, your scoring, your assists, without hitting your turnovers too strongly. Last season, we saw him get over a steal. So he's helping you in a lot of different categories, and that trade-off is the low threes. Brandon Ingram is shooting guard eligible, projected to go to be about number 57 next season, according to Yahoo, at an average pick of 51. Gives you a lot of the same production you get from DeMar DeRozan. The trade-off is you get slightly more threes with him. The field goal percentage isn't quite as high. It's part of the trade-off. Really good free throw percentage. DeMar DeRozan draws more free throws than Brandon Ingram does, so his free throw percentage tends to help you more just because of the volume he takes. But very similar players. If I wanted DeMar if you combine both of these guys, you have 225 point per game scorers that are averaging almost 50% from the field, but you're going to want to make sure you're getting threes from other areas. The 3.3 turnovers is a little higher than I want, but not too bad. It's manageable. 0.7 steals, that's pretty low. I want to see that higher. If he managed to get over a steal per game and still kept the other numbers, I think a lot of fantasy owners would be happy. Also, another guy that tends to get injured and miss some time, so hopefully next season we see him healthy and producing. A lot of his value is going to be tied to the health and availability of Zion Williamson, so that is something that you want to keep in mind. Zach LaVine, average pick of 51.7. Yahoo has him projected to go in the top 44. And with this guy, you get a lot of what you get with Devin Booker. He's just a little more inconsistent as far as his health and not as reliable as Devin Booker. But his fantasy production isn't too far off. If you look, last season, they averaged 24.8 points per game, 4.5 rebounds, 4.2 assists, 2.6 threes per game, almost a steal, only 0.2 blocks, which is really low for how athletic the guy is. 2.5 turnovers per game, which is pretty decent, all things considered. 48% from the field, 85% from the free throw line. For a guy getting you almost 3 3-pointers per game, that's really good production. Again, the issue with him is his availability. But if you manage to pick him at 51, it might make more sense than picking Devin Booker in the second or third round. If you can hold off and pick up somebody like Zach LaVine and get somebody else that you prefer over Devin Booker earlier in the draft. And again, I'm not covering any shooting guard eligible players in this video that are point guards. You should watch my last video, which was point guard, shooting guard eligible players, in order to get that information. So another guy I'm a big fan of for next season is Jalen Williams. I loved what I saw from him at the end of last season. I had him in a few leagues, and I won a few leagues because of how well he was performing. If you can see there, last season averaged 14 points per game, 4.5 rebounds, 3.3 assists, 1.3 per game, 1.4 steals, half a block, 1.6 turnovers, 52% from the field, 81% from the free throw line. That is 9 category gold right there, helping you across the board. And that was his rookie year. That means this year should be even stronger. I love his upside. He's on an Oklahoma City team that's very young, where he has a secure role. And I think he's just scratching the surface of how good he's going to be. He reminds me a little bit of Mikal Bridges when Mikal Bridges was younger. And I expect very similar production from him as he progresses throughout his career. So at an average pick of 62.9, he's someone I believe makes a whole lot of sense for you to target. Franz Wagner, another very solid player for his ability, very similar to Jalen, to score, produce across the board, and still help your field goal percentage, your free throw percentage. I love the fact he only gets about 2 turnovers per game, doesn't turn over the ball a ton. He's at that 1 steal per game, 1.6 threes, want to see a little bit more threes from him. But still, he's also a young guy. I believe this is his third year in the NBA. We might see a big leap from him. He has an average pick of 67.7. I think that 65 to 70 range is a solid target for Franz. Again, if you're targeting him because you want to pair him with other guys that I've been mentioning that are going to help your percentages, aren't going to hurt your turnovers. I really value percentages, keeping turnovers low. So when I find players that can do that and still get me threes, still get me steals, blocks, and still contribute a little bit in the other categories. A lot of people in fantasy basketball like to target scores, or they just want to target guys that get a ton of rebounds and ignore the areas in which they hurt you. And I promise you, sometimes a guy, especially in categories leagues, can help you out more when they don't hurt you in any categories than having a guy that maybe helps you really, really strongly in three, but then is hurting you a lot in two categories. Sometimes you need to value guys that aren't hurting categories versus guys that are just helping you a lot in certain ones and hurting you a ton, unless you're punting and just compounding all of your bad stats. So let's say you're punching free throw percentage, so you're ignoring free throw percentage at that point. But if you value your free throw percentage, you don't want to pick a guy who's going to hurt it a lot, because then that's when you put together a team that's not cohesive and you end up struggling. Josh Giddey's another player on that young OKC team that's shown a ton of potential. I want to see him get a higher free throw percentage, because at 73%, he is hurting your free throw percentage. He can score, rebound, get you decent assist, or a shooting guard, small forward, power forward eligible player. He's really love that flexibility with three different positions. That's something that I value a lot. 2.8 turnovers when he's getting you 6.2 assists. Not bad at all. Want to see him get more steals and hopefully have those threes creep up a little bit. At an average pick of 60, that's a decent target for him, but I don't know if I trust him as much as I do Jalen or Franz, just again, because they help me, don't hurt me in any categories the way that I'm being hurt with Josh Giddey, because he's not getting me many threes. He's not getting me even a steal per game, and he's hurting my free throw percentage. Even though he's helping me with points, rebounds, assists, I can't ignore the areas in which he's hurting me. Still, though, that 60 to 75 range is a pretty decent area to target him. He could always take a big leap. I believe this is his third year now, so that third year is where historically you see players start taking off. Devin Vassell, another guy I believe is also in his third year. His field goal percentage and his free throw percentage last season left a lot to be desired, but I can see him improving in those areas. He can score, rebound, assist. He got you over a steal per game. Got you almost 3 three-pointers per game, only 1.5 turnovers. It's clear San Antonio believes in him, and they have the number one overall pick this season, who's going to help Devin Vassell a lot, and his stretching the floor is going to help out Wemby a whole lot as well. So I could see him taking a big leap. At an average pick of 71.7, that 70 to 80 range seems like a really nice area to pick this guy up if he's available, and if he drops beyond that, definitely keep him in mind. I could see San Antonio trying to make the playoffs. They just got the number one overall pick. I don't see them trying to tank again. I can see them trying to put a competitive team together, and I can see this being one of their top guys. So at that range, it makes a lot of sense to pick up Devin Vassell. Michael Porter Jr. has an average pick of 78.2. My only concern with Michael Porter Jr. is his health and availability. He's had back issues since he came into the league, and we've seen him creep up and make him miss a lot of time. So how does he help you? He can score, decent rebounder, gets a lot of threes, and along with those threes, he's shooting 48% from the field, 80% from the free throw line, only 1.1 turnovers. Those are the positives. Only one assist per game. The guy is a black hole, does not pass the ball, doesn't get you any steals, barely gets you blocks. So not contributing a whole lot in those areas. But if I can pick him, I might target people who can pad my steals and blocks, right? That's something later on I can address. At an average pick of 78.2, his ability to score, get you that many threes while still not hurting your field goal percentage makes him an interesting target depending on your build. Buddy Hield has an average pick of 77.4. There are question marks about his future. It doesn't look like they were able to agree on an extension, Indiana and Buddy Hield, so it's hard to know what his season will look like. It'll depend where he's traded and what his role ends up being. He's one of the best three-point shooters in the NBA. Last season hit 3.6 threes, got you 1.2 steals, which I consider very nice. Only 1.7 turnovers, so under two turnovers from this guy. Almost 17 points. Field goal percentage at 45%, which is average, but when he's getting you 3.6 threes per game, I will take that. Free throw percentage pretty solid as well. Again, big question mark about his around his availability, so you might see him slide in drafts due to that reason. If he were to fall to the 85 to 90 range, I'm absolutely picking him up at that range, regardless of what's happening, because he is an asset, and either they're going to play him or they're going to trade him away. I still don't know what it's going to be. I haven't heard any announcements or any clarity. I think the preseason will help clarify some things, and hopefully they figure it all out before then. Klay Thompson has an average pick of 81.1. He's projected to go in the, to be in the top 70 next season. Now, I think Klay Thompson's best days are behind him. It's really nice to get you a ton of threes, but unlike a lot of the other guys on this video, it comes at the expense of your field goal percentage. He gets you 1.8 turnovers, which isn't high, but he only gets you 2.4 assists. 4 rebounds is okay. Really, this is a guy you're picking up for his ability to get you some scoring, hit some threes for you at a high level. He does help your free throw percentage, but last year, he didn't look really good in the playoffs. I think he slowed down a step. He's dealt with some serious injuries. He's not the same Klay Thompson he used to be. So I would tread really carefully drafting Klay Thompson. I would temper your expectations. I think the downside is almost as much as the upside. I'm warning you now, that is my opinion. Austin Reaves had a very strong latter half of the season last season and really became a household name. That happens when you play for the Lakers and you do well. Lakers fans will definitely make sure you know. Projected to be in the top 94 next season. Last season, he averaged 13 points, 3 rebounds, 3.4 assists, 1.3 threes, half a steal, 0.3 blocks, 1.5 turnovers, and he did that at 52% from the field, 86% from the free throw line. So very strong percentages, scoring, getting me some assists, getting some threes, and we should see those numbers increase this season at an average pick of 86. I really like him as a target in that 85 to 95 range if he's available there, because again, very efficient player, isn't turning over the ball a lot, isn't particularly hurting me in too many areas. Keldon Johnson has an average pick of 109. Yahoo's projecting him to be in the top 70. Last season averaged 22 points per game, 5 rebounds, 2.9 assists, 2.1 threes, 0.7 steals, 0.2 blocks, 2.1 turnovers, field goal 45, free throw 74. I need to see better efficiency from him. 2.1 turnovers is a lot when he's only getting 2.9 assists. Still, though, he got you 2 threes per game, 22 points per game. He's another player, a lot like Devin Vassell, that's going to have some opportunity on that young Spurs team. So at an average pick of 110, I'd say if he's in that 105, 115 range, I like him there. Any earlier than that, there's probably better options, in my opinion. Kevin Werder, average pick of 126.5. He's being projected in the top 93 for next season. Last year, averaged 15.2 points, 3.3 rebounds, 2.9 assists, 2.7 threes, 1.1 steals, 0.3 blocks, 1.3 turnovers. Shot 48% from the field, 72% from the free throw line. So the free throw line left a lot to be desired for a guy hitting almost 3 3-pointers per game and shooting almost 49% from the field. It's kind of baffling how low his free throw percentage is. But if he manages to improve that, he doesn't need to score a ton. He has a solid role on that Sacramento Kings team. And that team did really well, and I see him being a big part of that moving forward. So at an average pick of 126.5, I think that makes him a pretty strong. Bojan Bogdanovic had a very strong season last year, average pick of 129.9, projected in the top 150, but I think that's a little harsh. The issue with him is he barely gets you steals and blocks, right? He does miss time with injuries, but the guy averaged over 21 points per game. And no one really believed he would do that last season. He had an amazing season, and he did it while shooting 48% from the field, 88% from the free throw line. For a guy at an average pick of 129.9, that is sleeper city right there. I think he's still going to have a secure role. He's a veteran on the team with a lot of young players. He's going to get playing time at least for the first half of the season. He might be a guy you consider trading later on in the season if the team is struggling, because they'll probably rest him and sit him. But guys that can score almost 22 points per game and do so with 49% from the field and 2.5 threes per game, don't grow on trees. Almost 90% from the free throw line. He's been doing it for a few seasons now. I love his ability to score, be efficient. 2.3 turnovers isn't great, but when he's helping you in some key areas and his average pick is at 129.9, if I didn't have a lot of swingmen, he's somebody I would be targeting very late in the draft. And when I say that you can get some pretty decent swingmen late in the draft, gonna find a higher caliber of swingmen in the 130-140 range, then you're going to find really good point guards or really strong centers. RJ Barrett has an average pick of 116.9, but I have him after Bojan Bogdanovic. I think Bojan Bogdanovic is going to have a stronger season. RJ Barrett just has not shown me enough in his time in the league. You could see there, unlike Bojan, he's bad at both percentages. Yeah, he's getting me 20 points per game, but he's getting me less threes than Bojan. He's barely helping me in steals and blocks, just like Bojan. Turnovers are similar, assists are similar, but the difference in percentages is pretty striking. All right, RJ Barrett has a secure role. I think he's one of those guys that's better in real life than he is in fantasy. He would have to do more to show me otherwise. Shaedon Sharpe, average pick of 109.5. He's projected to go in the top 111. He's going to have a bigger role on a Portland Trail Blazers team that might be trading away Damian Lillard sooner rather than later. Last season, averaged 9.9 points, 3 rebounds, 1.2 assists, 1.3 threes, half a steal, 0.3 blocks, 1 turnover, shot 47% from the field, 71% from the free throw line. Again, he's another one I just would tell you to be cautious with. He's a second-year player. Last year's production was okay, but nothing to write home about, and I think there are better options that you could target around that 109 range. That's why I have some people being drafted later ranked ahead of him. Brandon Miller, small forward for the Charlotte Hornets. It looks like he's going to have a pretty secure role on that Charlotte Hornets team. Average pick of 127.6, 92% drafted. He is a rookie, so we don't have any numbers to go off of, but just wanted to put him on your list because his role looks like it's going to be secure, and Yahoo's projecting him in the top 87. If all of these other guys are off the board, that's when I would start targeting Brandon Miller. Benedict Mathurin, average pick of 131.6. He's projected to be 118 next season. Last year, averaged 16.7 points, 4 rebounds, only 1.5 assists. He averaged more turnovers than assists, which I don't like. The field goal percentage was pretty low. Decent free throw percentage. He's a big time scorer, and that was his rookie season. If he gets more confident and he gets that efficiency up, gets that scoring up, and hopefully gets a couple more assists, he's somebody who might be considered a sleeper, especially because there are a lot of question marks around Buddy Hield. The Buddy Hield is gone, depending on who they bring back. Benedict might be one of the main beneficiaries. Still, though, I feel a little bit stronger about the other players that I've named. Josh Hart, average pick of 135.9, projected to be 135. He did solidly for the Knicks. And what I like about Josh Hart is he gets you a lot of rebounds for a shooting guard while still getting you some assists, gets you some steals. He doesn't get you a ton of threes. He's capable of it, but doesn't get you a bunch. And only 1.5 turnovers. Field goal percentage is high. The free throw percentage is lower than I want. But for a role player that you can get pretty late in the draft, he's worth a gamble if you're trying to pad your rebounding without hurting your field goal percentage from the shooting guard position. Just keep in mind, you might miss out on threes depending on what your build is. If you've picked a lot of guys that don't get threes, then Josh Hart might not be your target. But if you're set on threes and you want a higher field goal percentage, not hurt your turnovers, help your rebound some, and you need a shooting guard eligible player, Josh Hart makes a lot of sense in that scenario. Kelly Oubre Jr., average pick of 143.6, just signed with the Philadelphia 76ers. I believe it's a one-year contract. Last year, averaged 20.3 points, 5.2 rebounds, 1.1 assists, 2.3 three-pointers, 1.4 steals, 1.3 turnovers. The field goal and free throw percentage, not great, but he helps in enough categories and tends to outproduce where he's drafted. He always ends up at the end of the draft and ends up doing better than that. On that 76ers team with big question marks around James Harden, he might find himself in a very solid role where he will outproduce the average pick of 143.6. He's only 13% drafted. He is a sleeper for that reason. And don't worry, I'm going to make a separate sleepers video. If you want to drop off from this video now, these are more late round guys. I will make a separate sleepers video closer to the season. But I hope you hang around with me because there are some decent targets still this late. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, NBA champion a couple times now with the Denver Nuggets, is only 59% drafted, has an average pick of 141.5, but Yahoo's projecting him in the top 88. He doesn't score a ton, doesn't give you a lot of the points, rebounds, and assists. What he does do, he helps your threes, he helps your steals, low turnovers, nice field goal percentage, nice free throw percentage, almost 2 3-pointers per game with 1.5 steals. I love those threes and steals players, especially when they can be efficient and keep the turnovers low. He's checking all those boxes. So at an average pick of 141.5, I think that's really low. This is a guy coming fresh off a championship. He makes a lot of sense with your last pick in the draft. Again, if you want some steals, threes, and you're already set on points, rebounds, and assists, and you just want to pad those other numbers. Ausar Thompson is another rookie I wanted to put on this list. He looks like he's going to have a solid role on a Detroit Pistons team that is skewing young right now. He had a very strong summer league as well. And he was number 2 in win shares during the summer league. Some research I did earlier confirmed for me. So somebody to keep in mind, he's being drafted at an average pick of 141.2. So towards the end of your draft, if you want to gamble on a young player with some upside who might have a big role on the Detroit Pistons, if you're drafting closer to the start of preseason, maybe watch preseason, see where he is in the rotation. I like to avoid rookies for the most part, but if you're talking about your last pick in the draft, it might make sense to pick him up then, see how he does before he has a very strong opening or a very strong preseason and somebody pounces on him and takes away your chance to own him. Tim Hardaway Jr., average pick of 144.4, 21% drafted. Not a huge fan of this guy for categories leagues because he hurts your field goal percentage and your free throw percentage, but he can score, hit a lot of threes. The steals blocks aren't there, but he doesn't turn over the ball a whole lot. He's really a guy I'm going to pick up if I'm desperate for threes and scoring late in the draft and everyone else is off them. Again, not a huge fan of the guy, but Dallas doesn't have a ton of talent. They're very top heavy, and he's probably one of their stronger role players. So he should have opportunities to produce, but he's somebody that I expect will be on a lot of waiver wires, will get hot for 4 or 5 games, get off the waiver wire, and then lay a bunch of eggs, end up back on the waiver wire. He has that sort of inconsistency. He's either really good or really bad. There's very little in between. Corey Kispert, average pick of 145.1. Wanted to put him on your radar. He's only 11% drafted. Last season hit over 2 3-pointers per game. Shot 49% from the field, 85% from the free throw line. If you can see, I tell you this every season, I love guys that get me threes efficiently. He doesn't do a whole lot as far as steals and blocks, but the turnovers are really low, so I value that. 1.2 assists, but only 0.7 turnovers. That's actually not a terrible ratio. And he should have a bigger role. Bradley Beal is gone. They did bring back Jordan Poole, but I can still see Corey Kispert carving out a role as one of the better shooters on that team. Malik Monk, I wanted to put him on your radar. Average pick of 145. Kevin Huerter has a more secure role on that team, but similar to Tim Hardaway Jr., he's a guy that can get hot and produce for several games. Last season averaged 13.5 points, 2.6 rebounds, 3.9 assists, 1.9 threes per game, 0.6 steals, 0.3 blocks, 1.9 turnovers, 44% from the field, and 89% from the free throw line. So he has a lot of upside, still a young player on a surging Sacramento Kings team. At the very end of your draft, he might make some sense, but he's probably closer to 14-team category. Honestly, a lot of these guys I'm about to share with you are probably going to be closer to 14-team players. Kenyon Martin Jr., average pick of 140, projected 141 next year. He's with a Clippers team that has 2 very injury-prone forwards in Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. So a guy that has upside, we've seen in the past when given the opportunity, he can score a little bit, he can rebound, he can get you a few threes, and on occasion he can get you some blocks. Last season averaged 57% from the field, but that did come at the expense of 68%. He's a sleeper in probably a deeper format, 14-team leagues. I don't know that he'll make it on the 12-team league unless we see more from him before the season starts. But for right now, I think he makes a decent target if you want a small forward eligible player that can contribute a little bit across the board when given the opportunity. Will the opportunity be there? That's the part that's a little bit more difficult to answer. Dante DiVincenzo, average pick of 145.8. I like his upside as someone who can hit threes, get you some steals, keep the turnovers low. I'm excited to see what his role is going to be for the New York Knicks. He's on the Knicks team with Tom Thibodeau as the coach, and Tom Thibodeau really values defense, and Dante DiVincenzo not only can play defense, he's shown championship pedigree. He steps up to the occasion. So Dante DiVincenzo, I think, is an interesting sleeper. I keep an eye on him to see how he does as the season progresses, because he's someone, if he finds himself in the rotation, all of a sudden he's getting three steals, assists, producing, and somebody gets him on the waiver wire before you get a chance to. Matisse Thybulle, average pick of 148.7, 13% drafted. This is a guy you grab exclusively because if he's getting minutes, he's going to get a bunch of steals, he's going to get a bunch of blocks, and he's going to get a bunch of threes and do nothing else. His percentages are suspect. He can't score. He doesn't rebound much, doesn't get you many assists. This is a guy you grab exclusively because you want to pad threes, steals, blocks, and not hurt your turnovers, and you feel you're covered in all the other areas. That's it. He's a specialist to help you in those areas, which are very rare categories. So the fact that he's helping you in those rare categories gives him some value. I'd keep an eye on him, see how trades play out, see what happens with Damian Lillard, who comes back, because that could affect the playing time that he gets. But at the very least, you want to keep him in mind as a specialist, again, to help you with those steals, blocks. Quentin Grimes, average pick of 149.4, 7% drafted. Putting him on your radar as well. Last season averaged over 2 3-pointers per game, low turnovers. And Tom Thibodeau seemed to have some trust in this young man. He is going to his second year, so there may be some upside for him considering he's barely being picked up right now. And the last guy I'm going to cover for the sake of this video is Caris LeVert, average pick of 149.4. 31% drafted. Caris LeVert's a guy you pick up because he can get you some points, rebounds, and assists when getting the playing time. But he can hurt your field goal percentage, he can hurt your free throw percentage, and he's very inconsistent, which is why he never gets a secure starting role. He normally steps up when other players are injured, but tends to end up in the bench and not producing when the team is healthy, due to some inconsistency issues that he has. So he has a ton of upside, very boom or bust player. He's either doing really well or doing really poorly, similar to what I said with Tim Hardaway Jr. All right, that is the video. We went deep dive into shooting guard, small forward eligible players. I avoided power forward eligible players unless they had shooting guard and small forward eligibility. Did you find this video helpful? Do me a favor, smash that like button for me. Subscribe to Barack Lesnar Hoops if you have not yet. And click that bell notification right over there. You see it? Click on that bell notification so you can be alerted to when these videos drop. Until next time, this is Barack Lesnar of Barack Lesnar Hoops. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your support. It means the world to me.